meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., along with the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. And I am joined today by my co-host, Loretta Frelick, who is a retired prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Loretta, welcome.
Welcome, Mayor. It's good to see you.
Good for us to be together again. I've missed the last couple of weeks. Lots going on, listeners, with graduations and other Mother's Day and other May events. And so I was taking some family time and have a daughter graduating from high school. And boy, Loretta, I tell you, I don't know if you remember from your high school graduation, but man, it's a lot more involved than it was like... There's like a breakfast, and I mean, we had a baccalaureate mass, and then I think we had the graduation. I think they were the same thing, like the mass and the graduation were the same ceremony.
Sure.
Now it's all, there's like four or five different things you have to go to. So I had three things in the last week alone, and, you know, I mean, I'm very grateful, and my daughter's well-deserving of praise in all sorts of different areas, athletically and academically and everything else. But, you know, it's, I just don't know how, you know, families, big families, get to all these events and things that you're supposed to be going to.
All I had to do was get my graduation gown to the cleaner so it was pressed.
Right, exactly. And my mother's, you know, make sure my shoes were polished or something, I think is what my mom said. But anyway, but we're here and we are just on the cusp of the beautiful, wonderful, magnificent Feast of Pentecost.
Yes.
And how was the Pentecost experience at your parish?
Well, you know, I had such a blessed weekend. It's almost like... You can hear the groanings of the church wanting to come out. We were at full capacity at our Mass.
Beautiful.
And the evening before, we celebrated an incredible Pentecost vigil event with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal here in Chicago. And our former guest on our show, Mark Nemo, led the worship. And Jen Madel and her family sung with him. And we really, people want to get out of the box. And they want to get out of COVID. And we had a large group gathering, and we had over 250 views on YouTube or live stream. It was really exciting.
Yeah, well, that's incredible. You do so much work behind the scenes, and I'm grateful to you for that, because you, the Charismatic Renewal, and you in particular, your service, you are very humble. And listeners, Loretta doesn't draw attention to herself, but she is one of the... One of the very important members of the Charismatic Renewal here in Chicago, but also nationally, and kind of the one who the beating heart behind a lot of what goes on at the Renewal. So, and speaking of beating hearts, our pastor did a lovely homily for Pentecost, talking about how our physical hearts have four chambers, and then dividing our spiritual lives into four chambers. And it was a really lovely analogy. And if you're interested in hearing it, you can go to the website for St. Vincent Ferrer Parish in River Forest, Illinois, and our pastor tapes his homily every week and then puts it online. So it's it would be worth the, you know, 8 or 9 minutes to listen to if you want another type of reflection on Pentecost. So,
well, Mary, that's a great segue into our first guest today, Jimmy Archer. He is the beating heart of the Renewal and the beating heart of the Ark and the Dove. Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing, Loretta? Mary, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Jimmy,
it's good to be here.
It is, and it's good to have you. Can you tell us You know, your background is project management, and the mm-hmm. Lord sure chose well when he involved you in restructuring the renewal, and also you are on the board of the Ark and the Dove.
Yes. My background is I went to an aviation school, and upon graduation went to work for Grumman Aerospace.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in the aerospace business for till my retirement for about 35 years. And, you know, so a lot of project management, plant management type of experience from that. You know, so that's kind of my career background, you know. But
right.
I had this enormous experience with the Lord when I was 21 years old. I was invited to go to a prayer group by my mother, who lied to me and told me that my friends would be there. Now, why my friends would be there, I had no idea.
Boy, you're gullible, Jimmy. That's
but she, yeah. Especially since we're all riding motorcycles, you know. I was in a bad way at time of my life, and you know, I walked into this meeting, and there's 300 people worshiping the Lord, all kinds of people, young, old, able, differently able people, all kinds of people, but just focused and centered. And there was a love there that I couldn't have found anywhere else. And, you know, I decided to come back, and within a short few weeks, I was involved in a Life in the Spirit seminar, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in July of 1975, and things have never been the same since.
Praise God. Well, yeah. God sure knew what he was doing. You know, he takes you out of the aerospace, from the aerospace industry, into teaching others how to fly high with the Lord. So,
Amen.
So, yes. Last week, we had Johnny Bertuzzi and Alicia Hartle. And they talked about the Ark and the Dove, and they talked about the new direction that the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is moving in. And I know yesterday they had a beautiful, beautiful event at the Ark and the Dove.
Yeah. Taffy and I just got back. We went yesterday morning.
And Taffy is your beautiful wife.
Yes, Taffy, my beautiful wife. And you know, the story starts in my prayer chair yesterday morning, right? So every morning I get up, I have this little prayer chair. Me and the Lord spend some time together. And here in West Virginia, I'm from Fairmont, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It is cloudy. I mean, it looks ugly. Now, the Ark and the Dove has just built this outdoor evangelization center, which is basically a huge deck. You know, it's like a stage. Out in the meadow, it's a beautiful scenery, background of the forest, you know, and the hill up to the house is kind of on an incline, so it's kind of like a natural amphitheater, right? So, but I wake up, and it's like, you know, it's been hot and sunny all week, and here it is, you know, it's very, very cloudy. So I'm like, Lord, look, I don't ask you for a lot of things, but just today, Lord, just today, let me know that there's not going to be any rain because we have all of this praise and worship music, electronic stuff going on.
Sure.
And lo and behold, honestly, the clouds open up.
Glory
to God. A ray of sunshine comes through my window, hits me in my prayer chair, and I just knew that we were going to have a beautiful, wonderful day. So it started there, right?
Right.
And there was a worship team called Praise Nation. It's led by Father Levi Hartle, who is Alicia's brother, actually.
Right.
Yeah, and he's part of the fraternity of priests that meet at the Ark and the Dove every Wednesday. They are charismatic priests by spirituality, and, you know, maybe 9 to 15 of them come out of the Pittsburgh area every Wednesday to meet. So anyway, the Praise Nation was going to be there. And we were going to do adoration and have a benediction and just worship and praise the Lord. Well, I don't know. I would say 200 people showed up, you know. And what really amazed me, it was a beautiful day, beautiful worship, beautiful free food, you know.
Right.
There was all kinds of games set up in the lawn for kids. Kids running everywhere. It was really a multi-ethical event. There were folks from the Philippines, folks from Brazil, folks from actually Germany, and you know, so it was just kind of that kind of a thing where there was a lot of diversity in the crowd that was gathered, and just a beautiful, beautiful day. So we were really glad we could be up there.
Yes,
and it's really a reflection of the change you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know well, Loretta, as you and I served both on the foundational priority one strategic priority for the National Service Committee.
Yes.
you know, that was involved in structures and processes, right?
Right.
You know well what we were about. We were about to lose our director of 34 years, I believe.
Right. Walter
and
Matthews.
So part of our goal was to, you know, to prepare for that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oftentimes what we have in mind, the Lord has something totally different in mind.
Amen.
And because, you know, who knows the mind of the Lord, you know?
Right.
But so we proceeded along the lines of transition very clinically, like I would be a good manager in the aerospace business, leading the group towards how we're going to transition, right?
Right.
But God didn't have transition in mind.
No.
God had transformation.
Amen.
And, you know, I am amazed at what's happened, you know, in terms of the National Service Committee now becoming Pentecost Today USA.
Right.
It's just amazing. And really, in short, what I can say is the Lord began to form what has been quoted as holy collaboration.
Praise God.
You know, all of these different entities and groups have come together as part of this transformation. For instance, the Ark and the Dove and Pentecost USA, Today USA, which used to be the National Service Committee. So we moved our headquarters from Locust Grove, Virginia, to the Ark and the Dove. So for Mary's sake, the Ark and the Dove, you know, the Ark is a big mansion, and the Dove is a small cottage-type building. So Pentecost USA moved into the Dove, the small building. And, you know, you can really sense not just the unity of being on the same property, but a real convergence that the Lord is causing between the two entities. So not only that, I mean, Franciscan University has had a collaboration with Pentecost Today USA. They are doing conferences together now. In 2020, we did our first collaboration with Franciscan, at our national conference. And I believe from this year forward, we're going to be doing the Power and Purpose Conference that normally takes place in Steubenville at Franciscan.
Wow.
And that's going to be our kind of yearly conference. So that's kind of exciting.
That is exciting.
You know, because, you know, Franciscan has turned out so many young Catholics on fire for the Lord who have really kind of infiltrated so many ministries around the country.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we probably can all think of someone we know that went to Franciscan that's now involved in church ministry.
Right.
On a diocesan level.
Right. Now, go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead. No, please, go ahead. I could talk for 5 hours.
And you know what? And you know what, Jimmy? You know me. I would love to listen to you because it's too bad we're not on television, but on radio.
Yeah.
What you would see is a man who is so in love with God that he just has this beaming Cheshire grin.
Yeah.
That is permanently affixed to his face. He's never not joyful. He's never not happy. He's never not looking at the bright side. There's always a laugh or a chuckle that when you're working with Jimmy that makes you so amazing. So, but what
you know,
Here it is.
It is. Okay, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are a guarantee.
Right.
Okay. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. They vary. We have different gifts. One body, same spirit, different gifts, though, in the body, right?
Right.
But the fruits are a guarantee, you know, love, peace, patience, joy, self-control. Oh, you know, it's just, that's the guarantee. So in this broken world, when we're looking for winds of change, if
right.
I may,
right.
you know, what can we offer as a church? You know, we have to offer the intimacy of the Father and the Son that we've received through the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the real deal. It's the only deal that's out there. My friend put it this way. He said, you know, a comedian has a setup and he has a punchline, right?
Right.
He said, in our lives, we're about setup. You know, we go to college, we raise a family, we get a car, we get a house, we go on. But if there's no punchline, the setup does you no good, right?
Right.
And he says, the punchline is God, right? So you know, if I know, and then looking it back the other way, you know, for us who know God, you know, and know the punchline, we've got to be part of the setup.
Amen.
Right? We've got to do the work, do the hard thing. So this idea that in this broken world, how are we going to reach and to make a difference? It seems everybody's cold, and you know, there's a hardening of the heart, and
right.
and they've taken on philosophies and different things that are not godly at all. But you know, every heart was created in the image and the likeness of the Father.
Amen.
They just don't know what's available to them. So I say, let's tell them about the guarantee of the Spirit.
Praise God.
That as we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit to pour the love of the Father into our hearts, we experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, regardless of education, age, gender, race. It doesn't matter. God's love is a unique love for each and every one of us. And that is where, change is going to happen. So we have to be about the business of proclaiming the gospel. We have to be about the business of living the gospel, you know.
Right.
My pastor always says, hey, act redeemed, you know. if you're really enthralled by the love of God, tell your face because your face is saying something else, you know. But, be that love. Be that bridge. Be that conduit of the Father's love. Eucharist defined it that way.
Right.
It said baptism in the Holy Spirit is, right?
Right.
A life-transforming experience of the love of the Father poured out by the Holy Spirit as we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, Jimmy, what I loved yesterday was Father's homily or comments at the benediction. He was quoting from Pope Benedict, and he was talking about, you know, the three things that the Holy Spirit brings us, and that he tells us, do not fear, do not fear. And then he gives us a deep and profound relationship with God, and he connects us to one another, and the Spirit unites and brings us together. And all we have to do is invite him in. And so what I found so wonderful was that these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're ours for the taking. Do you want to tell us something about the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, wow. it's unbelievable, because when you receive the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, when your baptism and confirmation is awakened by the baptism, by the fullness
yes.
of the immersion of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
The Holy Spirit pours out gifts freely,
right?
And it's more than your talents and your natural abilities. It's gifts that for the building up of the body.
Amen.
You know, the gifts are strictly that, you know, it's not a Jimmy show. You know, it's
right.
not that I become famous. The gifts are meant for the building up of the body, and that's their distinctive purpose.
Right.
So, we want to be open to the gifts. We want to say, Lord, you know, what are the gifts that you've given me? You know, is it words of knowledge? Do I have a prophetic gift? You know, do I have, you know, the gift of healing? Do I have the gift of, you know, and they're wide and they're vast. They go way beyond what Paul describes in Corinthians 12, but 1 Corinthians 12. But, you know, all of those things are meant for the building of the body. I can remember getting to a place where, you know, where the scripture says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And I said to myself at one point in my journey in the renewal, I said, you know, as long as there's two or three of us gathered, whatever gift God needs for that moment will be present.
Yes.
So we don't have any ownership on these gifts, right?
Right.
And our faith is to be lived in community, right? This isn't about a personal Pentecost, although we desire that personal Pentecost for each of us, but it's to be lived out in community. Right?
Right.
And that's the only place that all the gifts are present. So I thoroughly believe that if healing was needed at that moment when I was gathered with two of my friends, that I would be inspired to pray for healing, and healing would happen. And it did.
Praise God. Can you tell us that story, Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, stories.
Can you tell us the story about the gifts? I know you got one, Jimmy. I know you got at least one.
Well, I don't know where to go with that, but let me think for a minute. There are so many times where the Lord has kind of rescued me and given me gifts when I was not able to do what I was needed to do.
Right.
You know, we are broken vessels as we journey with Him in love. And, you know, sometimes our brokenness persuades our blessedness, you know, and Nowen really gave me a tremendous insight of my brokenness, where he says, you know, just as in the Eucharist, when the priest takes the bread and he blesses the bread and he breaks the bread and he gives the bread, right?
Right.
And so much in our lives, when we give our lives to Christ, he chose us. He blesses us. We are broken and we are to be given for the world.
Amen.
You know? So
amen.
That was so profound in my life that I went beyond my inabilities, my lack of understanding, my lack of education, and really, really took it to heart that I was the beloved of the Father, that His mantle was on me, that Jesus walked with me, and that the Holy Spirit lived within me, and that all I needed to be was a conduit of that love. And so time and time again, whether I was praying for people with for baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you know they were resting in the Spirit, or they spoke out in tongues, or all of these things that happened in the early days of the church, as the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, I was experiencing these same things in my ministry: wisdom, discernment, you know, all of those things that are necessary. How to let go of the plans that I so easily made every time that somebody asked me to do something. let's make a Gantt chart, you know?
Jimmy, we're going to be back to hear more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm guest host Loretta Frelick with my co-host, Mary Helen Fiorito, on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ, with our guest, Jimmy Archer, and we'll be right back.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. This is Loretta Frelick and Mary Helen Fiorito on Winds of Change. We are listener supported on AM 750 WNDZ. And today, our guest talking about Pentecost and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is Jimmy Archer. Jimmy, you talked about how life-changing the gifts were for you. And do you have like a before and after picture?
Well, you know, Jimmy, pre-baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was a strong young man. I was
good for you.
In so many ways.
Okay.
I was raised in a good Catholic family, but unfortunately, I really lost my faith. And was carousing out in the world in a lot of different ways, riding motorcycles with folks, and you know, football was kind of like everything to me. I played semi-professional football for a little while. I was involved in some really bad relationships, one in particular with a young lady for a number of years that was really detrimental for both of us. So I was disillusioned by the world. I grew up, my father was a New York City police officer. I grew up with all of these hero kind of ambitions.
Sure.
And, you know, and the world really, you know, let me down kind of thing. So I was in a bad place. I had gone, hit a car with my motorcycle, and crashed into the windshield, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Broken arm and, you know, the relationship fell apart, and that's when my mother invited me to this prayer group. But and my whole life changed. So, you know, it was post baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jimmy Archer has been understanding, and the search for love is over. You know, I know where I am loved. I know where that resides, and that strengthens me to live not for myself anymore, or not for any illusion of heroics, but to live for Jesus Christ, you know, to live for the Lord, and to give my life as best I can in being a parent, in being a husband, in being a grandfather, and now a great-grandfather, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah. 18 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. So,
God.
Yeah. And I don't look a day over 25, right? But anyway.
You don't. And, you know, Jimmy, what I have to tell you is, you know, when you look at the gifts that we believe that the Holy Spirit pours out for the asking, we don't have to wait for the great feast of Pentecost. But
right.
You look at the gifts, we recognize they're not for ourselves. They are for us, but also for the greater good of those that we love and interact with, and It's never all about us, yet it is all about us. And, you know, but what I love about your life is your life looks like the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when you look at those gifts of the Holy Spirit that you say so impacted you, and you know who loves you, and you have that deep and profound relationship with God, it's that your life then looks like the fruits. There's love, there's joy, peace, you know, and that's what your life looks like. So you are you're a blessing to everyone that you know. I can imagine you certainly have been a blessing to me, and you are a blessing to the renewal, and just your life is the exposition of those fruits.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Mariah. That's cool.
It's true. You got a favorite gift, Jimmy? Or is it just the one needed in the moment?
Yeah. You know, the Lord uses me, obviously, in envisioning things, and, you know, visioning how things should be or go. You know, how do we reclaim the Ark and the Dove for the renewal, those kinds of things. And so in a very practical way, though, that giftedness of the vision of where God, I think, God, where God wants things to be is a gift I have. But, you know, my gift is, I'm kind of like a Barnabas, you know, my gift is encouragement. My gift is really love, you know, and I desire more than anything to be that conduit of God's love. So I hope that's what people see in me, and that's what people feel for me, you know, is that, you know, God is present, and there's something different here, and I'd like to get a taste of it.
Praise God. Well, I can tell you that it has been great talking to you today, Jimmy, and I thank you for coming on our program, and I hope that we can invite you back just as a wonderful example of God's love in this world.
Yeah, and Jimmy, this is just Mary. I've been mostly listening. In fact, I've been all listening, actually. But but thank you. You know what that Loretta's like when she gets going on the Holy Spirit. But no, I just wanted to think. I mean, as I've been listening, I'm married to an Italian-American man. And I just think, you know, your witness is so necessary, if that makes sense, for men in this day and age. You know, where the whole, I mean, the difference of what it means to be sort of a godly Christian gentleman has changed so much in the culture. And I just remember, you know, like with my dad and the men I knew in my parish growing up, and it was, I mean, there were just certain things, like men went to Mass on Sundays, and your social life kind of revolved around the parish, and we've lost so much of that, particularly among men. So I just wanted to thank you for your witness as a Catholic Christian man to other men, to show it is not effeminate to go, you know, because you go to Mass with your family on Sundays. It's not effeminate to pray. It's not, you know, you're not diminishing your masculinity if you're a loyal Catholic and follower of Christ. So just, I that was a very long way of saying thank you, but I just wanted to point that out. That's what I was really struck by listening to you. How many guys would you have that kind of talk with, you know, in an area where we're, you know, we're besieged by porn and by drinking and by just by bad example. Yeah. And so thank you. I'm very grateful, and I'm glad to have met you virtually through Loretta.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Mary. I'm glad to meet you, too.
You know, Jimmy, I guess the Holy Spirit must be here on our radio show today, because as Mary was thanking you in that way, I was thinking the exact same thought, that you are just a brilliant Christian example of what it means to be a man in love with God. And it takes nothing away from your masculinity, and your background is you're a tough guy, and I can't imagine that there's a lot of, you know, in the aerospace industry, I can't imagine that there's even a lot of women there. But you are what it means to be an example of a man in love with God, living in a secular life and impacting, you know, your domestic church and your family, you know, and your community, and obviously the world. So I really thank you.
Yes, and just go away with this thought to the next gentleman you meet, that the Lord is looking for an army, not an audience.
Amen. Amen.
That's beautiful.
But you could be a general in that army.
That's a T-shirt right there. Or in this day and age, that's a meme, right? We've got to make a meme for that. So thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. All God right. bless you. Give
God
my love
bless.
To
Take
Taffy.
Care now. Yes, I will. See you soon.
Okay.
And again, Loretta, thank you. Jimmy's organization is, remind me again.
It's the Ark and the Dove.
The
it's where
the, Dove,
the
right.
Duquesne weekend was held, where the Holy Spirit fell on all the students from Duquesne on retreat, and it just turned into an explosion of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church.
And so if people want, what's the website, just so we can give the listeners if they're...
The Ark and the Dove, all one word,
okay.
.org.
Okay, very good. All right, excellent, excellent. So that was a terrific interview. And so again, we're just following up on Pentecost, but also... happening last week that's of pretty significant importance to people who are interested in the pro-life issue is that the Supreme Court granted what they call certiorari, which is the sort of shorthand phrase for it is granting cert. The Supreme Court granted certiorari, which means they have agreed to hear a challenge to an abortion law that was passed in Mississippi. And the law restricts abortion, elective abortions, after the 15th week in pregnancy. So just at about the 4-month mark of pregnancy. Now, most people don't understand that Roe versus Wade and its companion case, Doe versus Bolton, legalized abortion for all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy and for pretty much any reason. They did that by creating a health exception after viability that's so broad you could practically, you know, drive a truck through it. So the health exception, if a woman's life or health is at stake, states cannot restrict abortions. And they defined health as including what they said were all factors, physical, psychological, emotional, familial, or the woman's age relevant to the well-being of the patient. So essentially what that means in non-lawyer language, that if you say, hey, I'm 15, that's a health reason for a post-viability abortion, or I'm 40 and I'm too old. That's a health, you know, a reason for a post-viability abortion. So what Mississippi has done is to really bring on this challenge to Roe and to say that no, first of all, the health exception has to actually be health, and significant health, and we cannot be having elective abortions after the 4th month in pregnancy. So the Supreme Court, of course, that law was challenged when it was passed in Mississippi, and now the Supreme Court is going to hear this case. So it really does have the potential for moving the needle on the abortion issue, making us more consistent with the rest of the civilized world. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'll direct you to some good resources after the break. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick sitting in today, as we do on Mondays, for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
This is Loretta Freilich, and I am co-hosting with Mary Helen Fiorito, and today we had an opportunity to speak to talk about Pentecost. And we want to recall that the church celebrates Pentecost, and the gifts that we talked about, we had an opportunity today to talk with Jimmy Archer. And I really want to encourage all of our listeners to have the opportunity to pray the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As you know, the Pentecost Novena doesn't have to just be said from Ascension to Pentecost. You can go get that online and get that Novena. I know that when I was studying for the bar exam, after having finished law school, I would go down every day. I would take the Barbary study course, and I would study some more of what we thought was going to be the culmination of 3 years of study. All different subjects of the law, even though most lawyers only practice in one area, or they kind of limit, you know, some are criminal attorneys, some are family lawyers, some are civil attorneys or divorce attorneys. That would be family law. But anyway, I would go out down and I would study. I would come home, and about 10 o'clock at night, my mom and I would say the novena to the Holy Spirit. And that novena lasts 9 days. And after we would say, finish 9 days, then I would start all over again. And I know I passed the bar exam. I know because of the Holy Spirit. And it also was a time in my life that you can imagine is very stressful. And as I was praying the Holy Spirit's novena and asking for all these gifts, as I was praying the Holy Spirit novena, I would have just a peace about me that was unbelievable. I wasn't entering into the anxiety. I wasn't freaking out. I was, you know, able to stay focused. And even though I got the worst flu of my life about 4 days before the exam, I passed that exam. And it's my, I give all the credit to the Holy Spirit. And here's like a fun part. Excuse me. Here's a fun part. I believe the Lord sent me a sign in the test, and it was to encourage me. And as I was, and it's really stressful. I mean, you do not want to talk to anybody in the rooms. The rooms are just these big ballrooms that have test-taking tables, you know, the long, skinny ones. And you have so much space, and you can't be talking to anybody. But as I opened my test booklet, and this is before everything's online, as I opened my test booklet, the very first question was a contracts question, and three people entered into a contract on a certain day, and the names of the three people on that test were James, Joseph, and Elizabeth. Those are the names of my three, my two nephews and my niece, and they entered into the contract, and the date of the contract was my birthday, and I just thought, Holy Spirit, you know what you're doing, and here you are sending me a message, and that you've got this, and that we've worked together, and we're going to get this through this. So I encourage you, get out a novena to the Holy Spirit. Pick anyone that you like, and once you do that novena, it will be so peaceful for you, and it will be something that truly blesses your life and keeps you in a right presence of God, and as the gifts flow on you, they will be an opportunity for you to be blessed and to bless others. And Mary, I think it's time that we talk about this important case out of Mississippi. Yeah.
Well, as I was mentioning, this is going to be a game changer. When the court decided to hear the case, I started immediately, of course. Those of you who know my work and my area of scholarship know that I'm a lawyer, and my pretty much all of my career has revolved around abortion law and abortion policy. So it is an area in which I have quite a bit of expertise, but also a lot of interest. I'd like to kind of, you know, Loretta was a criminal prosecutor, so she practiced in a very, very different area of law than I did. But
you know, Mary, I read you.
Well, that's true. You read me. That's right.
You were like the go-to person on what it was that we needed to know and how to cut through all of the baloney to get to what we needed to know and to understand. And, yeah. You know, that's one of the ways that I first— You know, you came on my radar. That's a very long time ago.
Right.
But I was just so impressed at how well you write and how articulate you are on the issue. And it gives your listeners, it gives the people that read your commentaries talking points to get to.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you. And, you know, I guess my point in saying that was, you know, some people think that just because you've been to law school, you're an expert on every area of the law, right? And what I tell people is like, no, you know, in the same way you wouldn't go to a podiatrist if you had a heart attack, you wouldn't, you know, go to a criminal prosecutor like Loretta if you wanted to necessarily, although you are very well read on the topic, obviously, and quite informed about it. You know, lawyers have different areas of expertise, and actually you're ethically bound not to offer yourself up as an expert unless you actually have expertise or practice in that area. So at any rate, so my work has substantively been about the abortion issue. So this is sort of the thing I feel like I have been waiting for since I graduated from law school when I was 27. And it is Roe versus Wade. I just want to sort of... I'm sorry, I'm a little bit all over the place, but I want to make sure I'm providing the complete background and context for you if you haven't been following all of this in the news, you're not versed in it, because, you know, the polls, of course, were starting to come out after the Supreme Court announced they were going to take this case, saying most Americans don't want to see Roe overturned. Well, the truth is, most Americans don't even know what Roe actually held. So they don't even, when you ask people that question, the majority of Americans, Lord, I mean, are you familiar with this? They actually think that abortion is only legal in the first trimester, except if a woman is dying, and then it's legal. And it's, you know, here we are 40 years later, and people still don't understand the holding in Roe. So when that question is asked in a poll, you actually have to assume that the people know that Roe versus Wade, essentially, it overturned. Now, Roe didn't, people always say Roe legalized abortion. What Roe actually did was it overturned the 50 states' abortion law. So abortion was already legal prior to Roe in places like California and in New York and in Colorado, a couple states who had opened up their abortion laws much sooner than 1973. So you could go to California and get an abortion. You go to New York and get an abortion. I think in New York it was legal up till 24 weeks, and in California, it might have been the first trimester in California. I'd have to go back and look. But at any rate.
All right, listeners, this is the part where you better be taking notes.
So here we go. So Roe versus Wade had a companion case called Doe versus Bolton. Doe was decided the same day. It was handed down with Roe. The two cases are meant to be read together. Okay, so when you're talking about Roe, you are also, by definition, talking about Doe because they're companion cases. So what Roe said was Roe essentially broke pregnancy up into trimesters. This approach has been widely criticized, I mean, by people who are 100% solid supporters of abortion. Lawyers who believe it should be legal have said that Roe is a disastrous case. And essentially, they've said this because Roe has set itself up to be overturned because it is so poorly decided. The reasoning behind it is not good, solid legal reasoning. So Roe said, we have no idea when life begins, which was an absurd statement for a court to make. Secondly, they said they broke the pregnancy up into trimesters, said in the first trimester, essentially, states can do nothing to restrict a woman's access to have an abortion in the first trimester of pregnancy. In the second trimester of pregnancy, the court gave the states a little bit more leeway to regulate abortion clinics so that the clinics would be supervised for health and safety standards. We know that hasn't really been done in a particularly meticulous way. There's multitudes of cases I could raise to you to tell you why abortion is an incredibly, first of all, it's a lucrative field, but also one of the most under-scrutinized areas of medical practice. So the case of Dr. Gosnell in Philadelphia is a perfect example. Dr. Gosnell ran an abortion clinic for more than two decades in Philadelphia, had different waiting rooms for Black women and white women or Hispanic women and white women, was essentially birthing babies alive and then snipping their spinal cords with a pair of scissors. He's in prison now. But the grand jury, which was convened by a district attorney who ran as a pro-choice candidate, the grand jury said nail salons in the state of Philadelphia have been more frequently inspected than abortion clinics here. And had Gosnell's clinic been inspected in the same way we inspect nail salons, we might not have had dead women who came out of that clinic and, again, full-term babies or close to full-term born alive who were then, you know, were then killed at Gosnell's hands. So the court had this trimester framework, and they said in the third trimester, states may restrict because they recognized that states have an interest in the life and health of the unborn child at that stage, may restrict, or they said even prohibit an abortion in the third trimester, but not if her life or health are at stake. So here's where you got to know this particular detail. Doe versus Bolton, Roe's Companion's case, defined what the court meant by health in the context of abortion. Here's the definition. I think it's on page 174 of the case, of the Doe versus Bolton decision. This is what we mean by health. All factors, physical, psychological, emotional, familial, or the woman's age, relevant to the well-being of the patient. All of these constitute health. So that means, okay, familial. I got three kids. I don't want a fourth kid. Health reason for a third trimester abortion. Age. I'm 42 and I'm too old, or I'm 13 and I'm too young. Health reason for a third trimester abortion. Now, the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, which came along a couple decades later, modified Roe, but didn't really undo, that framework, because we have had such advances in neonatal technology. We have babies at, say, 21 weeks, 4 or 5 days who have survived. I have a nephew who was born at 22 weeks, 0 days, healthy, happy toddler. As we see neonatology advance, we have seen the trimester framework basically means nothing. I mean, babies at 24, 25, 26 weeks regularly survive. I had two babies at 32 weeks. They went home with me from the hospital. I had a baby at 33 weeks who had some health issues and stayed in the NICU for 3 weeks. So all of my children have been premature. Two of the three went home with me from the hospital and didn't even require NICU stays. So that's how much neonatal technology has advanced. And Sandra Day O'Connor, in a different abortion case, pointed out and said, listen, Roe versus Wade is on a collision course with itself. That's an exact quote from Sandra Day O'Connor. Roe is on a collision course with itself, because as science advances, neonatal technology advances, the reasoning behind being able to, you know, abort and destroy those unborn children at those ages also comes into conflict. So Roe legalized abortion for all 9 months for any reason with a broad health definition. Casey modified it and instead of trimesters used pre and post viability. But in the context of abortion, it's the abortionist who gets to decide viability. So you'll have at one abortion clinic, there's one here in Chicago, Family Planning Associates, they do on their website, they say they do elective abortions. So healthy mom, healthy baby. Up to 23 weeks, 5 days, I think is what they say on their website. So essentially 6 months. So you are visibly pregnant at 6 months. 24-week babies regularly survive. To abort a baby at that gestational age takes 2 days. That's how long it takes because the baby is so big in order to be able to remove the child. They're always gruesome because they always end in the destruction of a unique human life that God has placed here. They're always gruesome in that respect, but late-term abortions are post-viability abortions, late-stage abortions are particularly gruesome. And so what Mississippi has done is to restrict abortions at the 15-week mark, which is pretty much consistent with most of the Western world. Most European countries limit abortion to the first trimester, unless there are significant health reasons. And pro-life OBGYNs will argue that, you know, it's actually more dangerous to terminate the unborn child than it would be to deliver him or her and then let him or her, you know, so there are some times when the mom and the baby have to be separated prematurely. But there's nothing that says that you need to destroy that child's life in the process. So the child doesn't need to be killed in order to separate the child from the mom. Here's an example. My friend, Dr. Tony Levitino, who used to do second trimester abortions, this is an example he told me, that if you have a woman who comes in with preeclampsia, with extremely skyrocketing high blood pressure, and you need to deliver that child. And essentially what happens, you know, the woman goes in, she's sedated, they C-section her, they remove the child and get the blood pressure under control. If she had to go through an abortion at that stage in pregnancy, say 24 weeks, she has to have laminaria inserted inside of her to forcefully dilate the cervix so that they can get the baby's cranium out, you know, that the skull is rather calcified already at that point. And so the procedure actually takes 48 hours minimally. And so to say to a woman who comes in with this kind of blood pressure condition and to have to deliver her, you're actually putting her in danger by making her wait 48 hours to have an abortion. So and then, of course, they will tell you there's pretty much no condition that they cannot treat that would require them to directly kill the child in the process. You know, does every child make it? No. Sometimes they pass away. However, every child is given a chance and no direct killing is involved. So your intent can never be to directly kill. That is the church's teaching, even though you sometimes might need to separate the mom and the baby early. So, okay. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a backgrounder. Now, it's interesting that the pro-abortion groups, when the Supreme Court announced that it's going to be taking the case, it's called Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Dobbs, D as in David, O-B-B-S. Dobbs versus Jackson is probably how you're going to be hearing about it in the media. And it's going to be a game changer, as I mentioned, as people heard that the case was going to be heard. I began to receive messages from people saying, is this really it? Could this overturn Roe? And it could. And Roe really should be overturned because the right to abortion doesn't have any grounding in the text or the history of the U.S. Constitution or in the American legal tradition. So what the court did in Roe and then again in Casey was to try to find this right to abortion, because abortion's not mentioned in the Constitution. They tried to find it in the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, because that particular clause said that you can't deprive someone of life, liberty, or property without due process, right? So right. You remember that from con law and from the bar exam, Loretta. at any rate, so...
there's not much I want to remember about the bar exam.
Well, but so I kind of, out of whole cloth, the court in Roe announced that it had found this right to privacy floating around there. It was in the emanations and penumbras of the 14th Amendment. Do you remember that line? Kind of like floating out there, but it's not written down anyplace. It's just kind of, it's an emanation and a penumbra. So
what do the founding fathers say about penumbras?
It's penumbras and emanations, yes. Radiating out of the 14th Amendment was on a right to abortion. I mean, it's, and again, even people who support legal abortion do not want to see it end in the United States, say that Roe was a disastrously decided case. That's why they're worried about it. That's why they say that, because they want Roe to be, rehabilitated in such a way that you can't overturn it. So Roe is bad law, always has been bad law. Obviously, we as Catholic Christians believe that the unborn should be legally protected, that we don't, in the law, in medicine, pit mothers against their unborn children. And that we at least in the United States, that everyone should have what I would say the fundamental right not to be killed. So that kind of gives you in a nutshell. We'll address this again with some legal experts on the next show. But in the meantime, Loretta, thank you. Always
thank
a joy
you, Mary.
To be with you. It's Memorial Day next week, so you may not hear us live, but we will be back the following Monday.
Terrific.
Again, this is Mary Fiorito. I've been sitting in with Loretta Freilich for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. Thank you. God bless you. Have a beautiful week. Pray,
God bless
pray
you.
For life.
what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.